Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Acts chapter 2, we read of a most significant event that occurred on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish feast day, the Feast of Weeks. Because of wheat harvest, it is also called the Feast of Harvest, coming 50 days after the Passover, the most holy of the Jewish celebrations. It was also a great day of beginning regarding the religion of Christ. We focus on the first Pentecost, after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. The apostles were in one place when the Holy Spirit came upon them just as Christ had promised in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. They spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were guided and directed in the message that they preached. Peter, along with the other 11, preached the sermon recorded in this second chapter. The events of the day marked the beginning of several important things. It marked the beginning of the fulfillment of prophecies relating to the kingdom of God, such as were foretold in Isaiah 2, and Micah 2, and Daniel 2, and Joel 2. Also in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, things were foretold concerning the coming of the kingdom. Peter later said that all the prophets foretold of these days, Acts 3 and verse 24. Christ and John the Baptist had recently preached that the kingdom was at hand. It had been prophesied by messages of God as to the time and the place and the circumstance that would be the beginning. The promised kingdom began that day. That kingdom is also called the church, Colossians 1 and verse 13. Those who heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel that day were added to the church, or the kingdom. Everything that had transpired prior to that day pointed to the coming of that day, and from that day forward even to this day, they point backward to the beginning of the Lord's kingdom, His church. This also marked the beginning of the new covenant. In Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, there was a prophecy concerning the coming of a new covenant. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8, a book that, among other things, shows the superiority of Christ and His law above that of Moses, in chapter 8 and verse 8, the writer quotes Jeremiah and shows the new covenant of Christ as the covenant Jeremiah had foretold. Christ took away the first covenant in order to establish the second, Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. Pentecost also marked the beginning of the gospel through which God remits the sins of a man in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus had stated prior to His ascension, Luke chapter 24, He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Peter's sermon, he announced the terms of forgiveness that include repentance and baptism in the name of Christ, Acts 2 and verse 38. Before Pentecost, forgiveness may well have been granted another way. But now that the new covenant had become a reality, remission of sins in the name of and by the authority of Christ includes these conditions. John had baptized with a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 19 and Mark 1:4, looking forward to His coming. But friend, from the day of Pentecost, even until now, remission of sins in the name of Christ follows the same process as was announced on that glorious day. Obviously, with Pentecost marking the beginning of the kingdom, it also marked the beginning of the reign of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Acts chapter 2, verses 30 through 33, it affirms that this is the day of His coronation, because He was now exalted, having received God's promise, being by the right hand of God, which refers to a place of unequaled rank and authority. When Christ returns, as He has promised, He will not come to set up His kingdom, but to deliver up His kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. It is then that the last enemy, which is death, will be destroyed in the resurrection. In John chapter 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth. they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Dear friend, Christ now reigns, and he will reign until then. Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14 is Daniel's prophecy of the Son of Man returning to the Ancient of Days, which simply is Jesus returning to the Father and receiving the kingdom. Christ was given his kingdom after his ascension. The day he took the throne and the day the kingdom began was this wonderful day of Pentecost. Pentecost also marked the necessity of baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Christ. Those who object to baptism often cite such people as the thief on the cross as an example of how even people today can be saved. Of course, they cannot prove the thief was not baptized, just as nobody can prove that he was. But regardless of that, nobody was ever commanded to be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Christ prior to Pentecost. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and many who lived before Pentecost, they were never commanded to be baptized in the name of Christ. But from Pentecost forward, this is the command that people heard, believed, and obeyed. Every example of conversion in the New Testament following Pentecost culminates and finalizes with the one who needed salvation being baptized. This was also the beginning of the last days, the last age. The Bible presents three dispensations, three periods, three systems how God has governed mankind. These are called, for want of better terms, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian ages. The Christian age will end when Christ returns and the earth ceases to be, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. And when he comes, there will be the resurrection of the dead, John 11 verse 24, John 5, 28 and 29. And there will be the judgment. There will not be another age after this one, dear friend. And if there is to be a literal 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth, as some teach, then this age is not the last age, as Scripture teaches that it is. Were the writers of Scripture wrong when they said this was the last age? No, they were not. The teachers of the fanciful speculative theories, such as premillennialism, are those who are wrong. The last days refers to the age of the new covenant, the time of the kingdom, which is now almost 2,000 years old. We must not confuse the last days with the last day. The last day or final day will close the last days, but the last days began with Pentecost. This exceptional day also marked the beginning of the work of taking the gospel to the world. Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. We find the Lord's commission in Matthew and in Luke and also the book of Acts, for his disciples to preach the gospel to every creature in the world. It is a marvelous wonder that we read how the gospel was taken to the known world in the immediate period following. Colossians 1 and verse 23. Every generation must take the gospel everywhere to every creature. Pentecost marked the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in the conversion of mankind. In John chapter 16, 7 through 14, are words that Jesus spoke to his apostles, the promises of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them, and how they would be guided and directed and have every truth brought to their mind by inspiration. Acts 2, 1 through 4 tells of this taking place. Through the preaching of the Word of God, as done by the apostles, the Holy Spirit works in converting the hearts of people to Christ, leading and guiding them unto salvation, and how to live as a saved one. Everyone who is saved by the work of the Holy Spirit. But none are saved by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. None are saved by some miraculous event. All who are saved because of the Word, as given by and through the Holy Spirit, is preached, believed, and obeyed. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16, and the gospel is the instrument used by deity to convert people to Christ. The word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Of all the beginnings since the creation recorded in Genesis, The most notable one by far is that which occurred on the first Pentecost after the ascension of Christ. Prophecies were fulfilled. The kingdom, the church, became a reality. The reign of Christ began. The work of the Holy Spirit to convert men by and through the means of the Word had its beginning then. The plan of salvation in the name of Christ, including baptism by His authority for the remission of sins, was proclaimed the first time that day. The new covenant by which we are saved was announced on Pentecost. The last age began. There is yet another beginning we must consider. It is our own beginning in the new life as a Christian. We speak of the new birth of which Jesus taught in John chapter 3. Becoming a Christian is like starting anew, a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Friend, if anyone is going to reach heaven, me, you, or anyone else, we must make that journey. None can reach the goal without making the start. We start, we begin, by obeying the gospel in faith, repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. And unless one has made this beginning, the end is certain doom. May we encourage one and all to begin anew in Christ, giving thanks for the glorious beginnings that took place nearly 2,000 years ago on that day that is called Pentecost, the day that Peter called the beginning, Acts 11 and verse 15. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.